This morning's message is entitled Growing in Peace. And before we begin, let us acknowledge, seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day of worship and of service. Lord, may our service, may all that we do be acceptable in Thy sight. And even now as we come to Thy word, O Lord, teach us out of Thy wondrous truth and establish Thy truth upon our hearts. Cleanse us, O Lord, from all our sins and unrighteousness, so they are ever before us. Restore us unto Thyself. Renew us unto Thyself, O Lord. And prepare our hearts for Thy word. We ask it all in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen. Okay, shall I read for us a few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 14, and then we shall go into the message. John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 23, reading through 27. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. These things have I written unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His holy word. Now, there is no lasting peace on earth. And there is no peace in many hearts. And even as Christians, we must remember to seek peace that comes from God, not the peace that comes from the world. The world promises troubles, turmoils, and destruction. More of this in the days to come. The book of Revelation does not describe this earth as being peaceful or tranquil in the last days. And it's all part of the judgment of God. Many nations are being judged by God presently. And the worst is yet to be. And so we must seek peace that comes from God. And to seek to keep it. Keep the peace that we have received. And to grow in it. Because we can lose it. The peace, I mean. Not lose our salvation. But we can lose the peace from our heart. So we have to seek to keep it and to grow in it. The word peace is eirene. Eirene in the Greek. And that's where we get the word irene. And it can mean, first of all, absence of strife. And it can mean peace of heart and mind arising from reconciliation with God. And we want to focus on the second meaning, since we cannot avoid strife. You know, the whole Christian life is a strife. Our whole Christian life is a strife, the right kind of strife. And so we shall focus on the second meaning, which is soteriological in nature. Salvational peace. The peace that comes from God to us because of our salvation. Because of a personal saving relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then how we can continue in this peace and also to grow in the peace. First, in order to have peace with God, we fallen creatures condemned by our sins need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Bible. Believe what the Bible says. The Bible is the very word of God. And we disbelieve it to our own peril. And the Bible tells us that God created us for His glory. And God gave man freedom. Freedom to choose to love Him, honor Him, and obey Him. But man chose sin. Man chose rebellion against God. And man is doomed to eternal damnation. Man chose death. But God, in His great love and mercy towards us, the Bible tells us, sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to show us the Father, to show us who God is, God the Father is, His nature, His character, and finally to bear the penalty, the judgment of our sin at Calvary. And He became the way back to God. None can do this for us except God Himself, to provide a way back to Him. And the way has been provided. It's our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by Him. And so the Lord Jesus is the way and the only way. The way of salvation has been provided by God, that we may be reconciled to Him through repentance and faith. That's the way of salvation given in the Bible. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And then man will be saved. He will be reconciled to God for eternity, and we will be spared. We will escape the eternal fires of hell. And then we walk with the Lord. And then we talk of Him. The object of our affection, someone says, will be the subject of our conversation. And so we walk with God and we speak of Christ. And our life is supposed to be a testimony of the goodness of God in our lives. And then when we fall, what happens in our walk with the Lord? When we fall, we confess our sins before God. And we repent of our sins. And we make right. And we make restitution whenever it is necessary and possible. And then we go on. We go on in faith. So we receive peace with God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after having made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to, as we said earlier, to further cultivate the peace in our hearts and allow it to grow by the grace of God. And this is a peace that passes human understanding. This is a peace that the world does not know. A peace that is not dependent on external circumstances of our lives. And it's something that is not dependent on what happens to our flesh. All flesh must go the way of the flesh. Everyone has his and her time. But the peace that we have from God is the one that is of divine nature, and it is not dependent on all these things. How do we keep peace? How do we keep this peace going and growing in our lives? Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. I shall read for us, and then we shall look at this, at them in more detail. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things... Sorry, I missed a verse. We'll begin with verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. First, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. And we can only do this by trusting God. Trusting in His person, in His character, and in His word. Just as a person in a plane learns to trust the pilot, otherwise he can't eat in peace, he can't rest in peace. Every flutter, every vibration, his face will turn pale, so forth. Likewise, as Christians, we need to trust God who is in control of our lives. Not just a plane. God who is in control of our lives. And trusting is something we need to learn, to exercise, need to exercise every day. Beginning with the small things. If we do not learn to trust God in the small things, we will not be able to trust God in the bigger things. And God so often graduates our life for us. And puts us through things where we learn to trust Him in smaller things. And then we will grow and learn to trust Him in the bigger things. So if we don't learn to trust, we'll never be able to grow in trust. But if we do, we will grow in trust and also in peace. George Miller of Bristol, 19th century, was a great man of prayer. Okay, there are books written about him. And I'm sure we're all familiar with his books. He was a great man of prayer. And not just prayer. But he had great peace and assurance when he prayed. There's a difference between two persons. Huh? Two persons can pray. One can just pray and then be troubled after that. And another can pray and have great peace and assurance. This was one man who was like that. He had great peace, assurance of heart when he prayed. And this did not happen overnight. Over 2 weeks. His whole life he believed in trusting God. In everything. In big, small things and in big things. And it was said of him that he brought everything to God in prayer. And he brought God into everything in his life. And then and his disposition was always one of composure and peace. Of course he has a stern look. But one of composure and of peace. So we want to learn to trust God. Every day and in everything, not just when we are in trouble, not just when we are in a fix. So often in our Christian life, and to our shame we say this, when we are alright, we don't really trust God. Then when we are in trouble, we really pray with all earnestness. So we ought to learn to trust God daily. Daily communion, daily confidence in God. We talk to God often. Tell Him, ask Him, listen to Him. And learn to delight in the presence of God. Yes, trusting God goes hand in hand with a prayerful spirit. We can't trust God without having a prayerful spirit and being prayerful. So trusting God goes hand in hand with a prayerful spirit. So we need to engage in prayer often. And we can pray when we are standing, when we are walking. We can stand at the bus stop, we can pray. When we are walking, when we are working, we can pray. It's a spirit and attitude of prayer before God. Not necessarily getting into the posture of prayer. Sometimes that is not convenient. But we can pray anywhere. And not just prayer, second point. Not just prayer, but pray with thanksgiving. Pray with gratitude, with an attitude of gratitude. Engage in thankful prayer. Wake up to the goodness of God in our lives. No? Have a good memory. Have a crocodile memory. Have an elephant memory of the blessings and the mercies of God upon our lives. We look back in our lives, we must remember the mercies and the blessings of God. And we also must remember the evils that we have been spared off, that we have been kept from by the goodness of God, and that we have been delivered from. Sometimes we're already in trouble and we pray to the Lord and God delivered us out, and we are also to remember that. And also thank God for troubles and sufferings also in life, in the past, and how God has brought us, has seen us through, and brought us through them all by His grace. So we must be thankful for everything. If God allows something to happen to us, to our lives, it is for our good. Because God is good. Therefore, whatever happens to us, while it may not seem good to us, to the flesh, but it is really good. It will be for our ultimate good. God's plan does not go out of control. Neither does God's character change. So we learn to be thankful to God. A spirit of thanksgiving will drive away anxiety and worry and fear. Now these cannot survive in an environment of praise to God. A spirit of thanksgiving makes it hard to murmur and to complain and to worry and to fear. And it is well-pleasing to God. A spirit of thanksgiving. And just to know that God is pleased itself increases our peace. Just to know that God is pleased with us increases the peace that is in our hearts. Then again, the third point, we have to think on the right things, the good things, the things that are true, not evil surmisings, guessings, and so forth. Things that are honest, the Bible says, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Philippians 4:8. And actually all these qualities in their perfection are found in Christ, in His person and His life, in His word, and in His work. Thinking, meditating on these things will affect us. It will help us to develop peace of heart and mind. Just as imagining all kinds of weird things and negative things, allowing all kinds of fears to dominate our thoughts, will upset us and rob us of our peace. So when we think on these things that are true and honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, then we will have peace in our hearts. And this, what the Bible teaches us to do, and which we desire to do. Sometimes we suffer from seizures of fear, of anxieties, anxiety attacks, they call it. There is a secret to overcome it, the Bible gives us, and it is to replace it with peace of heart and mind and soul. And it is given here, Philippians 4:8, wonderful verse. Bible says, all these things, if there be any virtue, and there is, if there be any praise, and there is, think on these things. Keep on thinking on these things, on the right things. And over time, it will affect our spirit, our attitude, our disposition. It will affect our life. When we keep on doing it, keep on thinking. So the Bible says, keep at it. The word is logizeste, that is think. It's in the present tense. Keep on doing it. Keep on practicing it. Keep thinking on these things. And it is imperative, present imperative. It has the force of a command. We are commanded to do this all the time. The Lord commanded His disciples to love one another in the days of His flesh, in the gospel days, because they were not naturally inclined to love one another. Just like we are not naturally inclined to love one another of the household of faith, even though we are supposed to do it. So we have to learn to do it. So it becomes a command. It involves the act of the will. Likewise, the Bible teaches us to think on these things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, because we are not naturally inclined to think on these things. We naturally will neglect thinking of these things, and we will very often abandon thinking of these things and think about other things. That doesn't help us very much. So the Bible says, the form of a command and the present imperative, think. Keep on thinking of these things. When we say a person is practicing his violin or his piano, we mean that person is working to improve upon a skill. Or we say a doctor or a lawyer has a private practice. We are actually referring to his or her professional routine, practicing his medical skills or legal skills every day. Similarly, here refers to one's pattern of life or consistent conduct or thought pattern, which is part of us. Our thinking is part of our life. It can't be seen by others, but it is really a part of us. It will affect us as a person. So we keep at it purposefully and prayerfully by the grace of God. We do well to our soul, and we grow in peace. Then again, how do we grow in peace? By obedience. John chapter 14, verse 23, The Lord Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming anew, the Lord coming to us, no? The Father and the Son coming to us anew. The Lord keeps on coming as we keep on obeying. And this coming will surely bring peace to our souls. The peace of God to our souls. And so we keep on doing that. Keep on learning to obey the Lord. And the Word of God is given to us that we may know how we can obey the Lord. We have the desire to obey the Lord. It's very important. We must know how to obey the Lord. You cannot say, I have a heart to obey the Lord and don't read the Bible. That we do not know how to obey the Lord. And we often end up disobeying the Lord and not knowing it. So the Lord help us to do that. We learn to obey the Lord. And the Bible says, if we love the Lord, we will obey His word. Very straightforward. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so we love the Lord and we learn. And love will cast out fear, the Bible tells us also. How much more love for the Master? If love can cast out fear, many times fear keeps us from love. Because of fear, we dare not love, cannot love. But if we have love in our hearts, then it will cast out the fear. And how much more if we love the Master? And how much more peace we will have? Also, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 165, Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we love the Lord more, and we'll keep it more. We love the Word of God more, we love God more, we love His Word, and we'll keep it more. The more we keep it, the more we love it. And peace dwells in our hearts. More and more. Even though outwardly we may face adverse circumstances. Sooner or later we are going to face some adverse circumstances. It's either going to be around us, it's going to be touched or touch our flesh. Sooner or later it's going to happen. And so, but we can still have peace. If we apply these several things we have discussed, or we have considered from the Word of God. So yes, troubles and turmoils may be around us, may surround us as we sang earlier in the hymn. Satan may afflict us, we can still have peace. Now talking about the devil, Satan is a great afflicter of the souls of men. The greatest afflicter of souls, the upsetter, the disturber, the robber of our peace. And he'll go as far as he can if we allow him to have a foothold in us, in our hearts. Through his fiery darts. Satan is, the Bible describes as the prince of the power of the air. And he can hurl his fiery darts. That's why we are told in Ephesians chapter 6 to lift up the shield of faith against the fiery darts of the evil one. So that we can quench the fiery darts of the evil one. So we let him, he will, once he gets a foothold in our hearts, then he will disturb our peace. And keep us without peace. And often we are handicapped. Because we do not know the Word of God. The Word of God is not in our hearts. And then we are doing battle with one who knows the Word of God and will use it for evil. One who is the arch enemy of God and of God's people. So we are severely handicapped, disadvantaged if we do not know the Word of God, because we are battling with this person, this spirit really, a fallen spirit. Who knows the Word of God and will use it for evil. So we need to know the Word of God so that we can use it rightly. We can apply the Word of God rightly in our lives, in our circumstances. And that's how the Lord Jesus dealt with Satan. When he was on earth, the Lord Jesus dealt with Satan in the temptation. And that was how he did it. And he's teaching us how to live and to do battle with the enemy of our souls. And that is to use the Word of God rightly. It's not a matter of just quoting some verse and then Satan will flee and run to India or China. But we need to use the Word of God rightly. Man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to do that. And while we quote rightly, we need to really believe Quoting rightly is important. But what we quote rightly, we need to really believe and rest our soul upon it. We really live if we really believe. Because Satan can cast doubts with regard to the faithfulness of God's word, which is really the faithfulness of God. When Satan attacks the word of God, he's attacking God. And Satan can cast doubts, even if we quote it. And our own sinful nature can cause us to doubt the scriptures that we quote against Satan, or we quote in the face of trials. So we need to really believe what we quote rightly. And when we quote scriptures, for example, that God will deliver His people, we must remember also in the book of Hebrews that many of God's people were not delivered from terrible sufferings and even death. And God has not failed them in their lives. It is God's higher purpose. If they have to go through certain things, it is because of God's higher purpose. It is God's will that they go through all these things. Some have to go through martyrdom so that they may glorify God and they may obtain a more glorious resurrection on that day. And they still have peace with God in their hearts. We may look at them or we may read of accounts and say, so terrible, have to go through that. But for those who have to go through, who have been ordained to go through, they have peace in their hearts. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a glorious thing about our faith and about our God. They will give peace to those who has to go through. That is, if we are called to go through great sufferings and martyrdom. If we are not called to martyrdom, we may be willing to die. Nobody wants to kill us if we are not called to martyrdom. But when we are called, God's peace is sufficient. And the peace is increased. It will increase to match the circumstances of our calling. So we take comfort and confidence in this, that if we know the Lord in a personal way through our Lord Jesus Christ and know His word and love Him and apply the various things we said earlier, then we will have peace in our hearts regardless of outward circumstances. Okay, we want to remember we live by the law of God and we live by the higher law of God. God can deliver us from anything, right? And God has delivered His people down the ages, sometimes through mighty miracles. But if it is God's will that we suffer and even die for His glory, as we said earlier, He will give us the grace to go through all these things. So, as we said earlier, we live by the law of God and we live by the higher law of God. Then again, how do we grow in peace? We grow in peace as we grow in our yearning and in our anticipation of the Lord's return, the second coming of Christ, the parousia. That's how the Apostle Paul expressed it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, ten parousian to kurio, to kurio. So we get the word, the transliterated word, parousia, the second coming of Christ, the sudden presence or appearance or arrival of the King in the midst of His people. That's the parousia. And we yearn for the coming of the Lord and we increase in our yearning, our expectation, our anticipation of the Lord's coming. We also increase in peace. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 ends with, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so that's how we get peace and comfort. As we think upon, as we yearn, as we look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible has a verse that tells us, in the Gospel tells us, lift up your heads and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. So let us do that. As our desire deepens for the Lord's coming, as the day of the Lord's coming draws nearer and nearer, we'll increase in our peace, because we are waiting for a deliverance from this earth. Of course, when we say, when we are looking for deliverance from this world, then we are not putting confidence in this world. There cannot be a contradiction Okay, we have to lose confidence in this world. We have to have no confidence in this world, regardless of what the people of the world say, as we focus on the second coming of Christ. So let us not be as those who are focused on this world and whose hearts are set on earth. Settled on earth. The Bible has a word for this. They are the dwellers of the earth, Revelation chapter 3. Dwellers of the earth, or dwellers resting on the earth. Resting upon the earth. Their hearts and their minds are sunk in this world. Spiritually, they are settled on earth, spiritually. Okay, they are spiritually at home on earth. These are the dwellers of the earth, or dwellers resting upon this earth. And don't tell them about heaven. Talk earth, they tell you. No, don't. I have no time for heaven. Heaven can wait. Someone wrote a book. So there are those who sink their hearts and their roots into earth. Their spiritual being has been sunk. And the Bible says we are not to be like that. If we are like that, we cannot be yearning for the coming of the Lord. It's not possible. We have to have no confidence in the world. So that's what we need to do. Get our mindset out of this world. Don't let our hearts and our minds be set on this world. Now, as Christians, we can also fall into this mindset, except that God will not leave us alone because we are His children. But we want to get out of it before chastening comes. As God's people, we can get into this mindset. We can get into any kind of mindset if we are not careful. Take the example of the Apostle Peter, or the disciple Peter before he became an apostle. One day the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and there suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and there be killed and then rise again on the third day. Peter took the Lord and shook the Lord and rebuked the Lord and said, "No, this will not happen," and so he was acting in the flesh. He's entered into the flesh, speaking in the flesh. He's got into the mindset of the devil. He's doing the work of the devil, because the devil will try to stop the Lord Jesus from doing the will of God the Father. So he has fallen into that even without realizing, because he was not careful. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So as Christians, we can fall into any kind of mindset if we are not careful. Unless we keep close to the Lord, unless our mind is stayed on Christ, then we will steer clear of these things. And then we will be strong. And then we will be able to stand in the temptation. So let us remember this and not be as the earth dwellers of the earth. Earth dwellers, those whose hearts and minds are sunk, are settled deep into this earth. Have no desire and no belief of spiritual things. Let us grow in the peace and comfort that comes from the thought and expectation of the Lord's return. Let us put on the mindset of a pilgrim, for such are we. Growing in the peace and comfort of Christ as we journey through this earth, as we make our pilgrim journey to the celestial city. We have chosen heaven over hell by the grace of God. And now daily, let us choose heaven over earth. A friend of ours, we met him after many years, after 30 years, at a school's reunion dinner. And then he said this, "I have backslided until I don't know where I am." We give him credit for knowing that. Oftentimes we backslide, we don't know that we are backsliding, or we don't want to know that we are backsliding. And we won't confess. Confession is good. It is necessary. But confession is not equal to repentance. Confession is necessary for repentance, but it is not equal to repentance. Just as conviction of sin is not equal to repentance. The governor, Felix, trembled under great conviction of sin when the Apostle Paul spoke to him or preached to him of righteousness, of temperance, and of the judgment that is to come. He trembled under great conviction of sin, but he did not repent and come to Christ. So we cannot believe that he is saved. He was not saved, and there is no repentance towards God. But as a child of God, if we confess our sins and we do not repent, then we will be chastened in due time, because God is faithful and God is true. The Lord grant us the grace to repent. Finally, a cloud of witnesses has shown us that it is possible to have peace in adverse circumstances, and that these are meant to grow us, to mature us. For example, Job, the patriarch Job, had peace after he heard from God and he had a renewed vision of God. Early on, he was complaining because of his sufferings. Now, his sufferings are no small thing. If we were to be in his shoes, we would be worse off. We'd do worse off than him. But he complained because of his sufferings. And in his grief, he actually questioned the essential justice of God. But after God spoke to him, everything was settled. His soul was settled in God. His soul was settled in peace. The problems were still there. Of course, later on the Lord restored him. But when he met with God and had a renewed vision of God, his heart is settled in God and in peace. Then we see Daniel. Daniel had peace when he was put into the lion's den, because he was careful to take care of his walk, of his relationship with God, long before that happened. Not when it is about to happen, and then he starts to take care of his walk with God. Daniel, as a rule, took very good care of his relationship with God. And so when the test came, he had peace in his heart. Then again, Daniel's three friends had peace also when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It's the same reason. Their devotion to the God of their fathers and the guide of their youth. And so they were able, in peace of heart, without shivering and quivering, say to the king, says, we worship dead or alive, they say, we worship the Lord, the true God, and not your idol. The Apostle Paul was ready to die for the gospel, ready to die for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ with peace in his heart. 2 Timothy 4:6, the first part, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Offered up to die for Jesus' sake. He had peace. George Miller, we mentioned earlier, 19th century saint, was a man of great peace and composure. He lived a prayerful life. He lived by prayer. He walked by faith. And he was in the perfect will of God always. It's not that he was perfect, but he was in the perfect will of God always, because he lived by prayer, walked by faith. H.G. Spafford, the one who wrote the hymn, "It is well with my soul," he had peace in his heart. Even though he suffered great personal or great familial tragedy, his wife and his daughters, they died at sea when the vessel capsized. And yet he could have peace. And he wrote this beautiful song that we sometimes sing, "It is well with my soul." How often we lose our peace, we lose our sleep over many things in life. But we can overcome these, and we can keep the peace of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We can keep it in our hearts, and we can grow in peace also, not just keep it. Okay, so I shall close with one verse, and then we shall sing two stanzas of a hymn as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. I just close with Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee that we have the peace of God in our hearts through our Lord Jesus Christ, because thou art the God of peace. And we know thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thy children through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Help us, Lord, to apply thy truth to our hearts diligently, daily, that we may continue to experience this peace in our hearts, and not only to experience, but to grow in this peace. For it is in Jesus' most blessed name that we ask all these things. Amen.